Well, welcome to worship, everyone.
Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it.
Thank you, Todd. You read that beautifully. Todd is our intern, our seminary intern. Those of you that weren't here last Sunday, and he is going to be helping us with ministry in the church. And I'm so glad you're here with us, Todd. While you were reading that scripture, I was sitting next to Adam. And Adam, you thought it was pretty funny to think about the body as just an ear or an eye, right? That was a funny thing. And I would agree. And it might have even been in, you know, Paul's mind as he wrote that letter. This is really dumb, you know, to an ear or an eye, what would happen to the body. How many of you watched a football game yesterday, a college football? Anybody into football season is upon us. I used to watch football with my dad growing up, so I love football. And Tim, my husband, is not here with me today because he's in Michigan with Jonathan. Jonathan said, Dad, don't come to the parent orientation. Come to the football game with Harbaugh at the home game. So that's where he is. And I was thinking about football because I did watch the Michigan game on TV yesterday. And in a football game, the offensive team does something before every play on the field. What do? They huddle. That's right. And the huddle is necessary, isn't it? It's an important part of the game. The huddle is where the quarterback announces the play to be executed. And we who watch football understand that the huddle is important because if people don't know what their jobs are, then nothing will happen, right, when it's time. So we do not watch football, however, to watch them huddle on the field. Well, maybe you do. Does anybody watch football to watch the huddle? We watch football to see if what was called in the huddle is executed on the field. Right? That's why we watch football. One important part of the Christian experience is that believers huddle together in church buildings, as we're doing right now. That's part of what we do as a church. And that's a command in Scripture. Do not neglect to meet together. But what does the world really want to see? Do they watch football or Christians for the huddle? No. What the world really wants to see is whether believers will execute in life what they huddle about in the church. A football team executes what they talk about in the huddle because everyone knows their position and their part in the next play, and that is key. So to execute on the field, we need to first be convinced that God has called each of us to be here right now at West Valley, at this time, for an essential purpose. And actually, as your pastor, I believe that not one of you is here by accident. I believe that you are all here because God brought you here. God wants you here. You have a unique and God-given purpose here for this church right now. You are an essential part of this team called the church. But the only way to execute what we talk about here in the huddle at our church on Sunday mornings is if you understand and are invested in the vision and purpose of West Valley, as Bill shared part of that vision with you this morning, to get connected, and you are willing to get in the game. Otherwise, if it's all about the huddle, it's pointless. If it's all about coming and just sitting here in the sanctuary, we are not going to move the ball of the gospel down the field. Hopefully, in the next 6 weeks, as we engage together in studying what it means to be a church member in the second hour in our groups, you can figure out, if you haven't already, what your unique contribution to this team called the church can be. And to help you out, in the Narthex and at the Welcome Center, we have this available to you. It's a spiritual gifts inventory. Now, when you pick it up, it's going to feel really thick, and you're going to say, oh no, it's not that bad. There's only 2 pages in here that you have to fill out. What the bulk of this document is a description of the different categories that you might fall into after you take the 2-page inventory. So I invite you to pick one up as you go out of the sanctuary today. And I think it will help clarify where you might fit in to the body of Christ or into the team. All right? There's also a link for this on the website. So please go there. And if you're confused, take one and take the inventory. I've given it to a lot of people, and it seems to really help most folks. And it tends to be accurate. It doesn't have the categories of all the gifts, but it's a good first step. You know, you might find out you're a running back, a tight end, a wide receiver, a quarterback. And if you don't like sports analogies, I can see some of you rolling your eyes, oh brother. Here's the biblical metaphor. Paul describes the church as a body. Maybe not exactly like that one, but, you know, something maybe. You start there, right? We'll just put it up there, and you can think, oh, wow, we could do better than that. No. But like a team, right? So I've got 2 metaphors here, the team or the body. Like a team, the body has many members, and all of them are unique. At the same time, all of them are essential if the body is to function well. So you might be a helping hand to the needy. You might be a perceiving eye that has a gift of discernment. A mouth that speaks graciously and teaches well. You might be a foot that goes on mission trips. Or an ear that listens and hears God's voice more clearly than others. And you might be thinking, now, oh, I'm none of those. I'm just an appendix. You know, the appendix for years was considered to be a part of the body that had no function. And actually, researchers at Duke University Medical Center say that the function of the frequently discarded appendix, you know, as I said, an organ that's been credited with having little or no function at all, actually does have a role to play. It's supposed to, now they say, produce and protect good germs for the gut, by rebooting the digestive system. So even if you're there saying, no, I'm just an appendix, no, you have an important part to play. What you got to know is that you can't play solo. No matter what function you have as a member of the body of Christ, if one member is not functioning, the whole body suffers. Paul tells us just like if one, Paul tells us that in the body, and you know, like if one team member doesn't show up, sometimes the team has to forfeit the game, and the body is the same way. Because have you ever had a toothache? Who's had a toothache? Right? Your whole body lies there. Your whole body suffers. You just don't feel good as a whole. Or you had a sore throat. Usually your whole body is droopy and exhausted. If you break a bone, if your foot is broken, your whole body limps around, not just the foot all by itself. It's not like you can separate out one member of the body from the rest of it. Oh, I'll just screw off my arm and put it over here until it feels better, right? I think I'll just take my eye out of its socket for a bit and let it relax until it stops watering so I can get on with my life, okay? The parts of the body all function together because they are one entity. We are one in Christ. If one part of the body is not active, the rest are impacted by that inactivity. If one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And because we are connected together in Christ, we share each other's pain and joy, and we support one another. I've heard many of you say to someone, oh, you can't pray right now. You feel far from God. Let me do your praying for you. I've heard other folks say to someone, don't worry if you're sick, I'll do your shopping for you. And that's what the body does. That's why the church is so special. We need each other for support. And the world then needs us too, unified, working together and using our unique gifts and moving forward together in a common vision. Maybe some of you have seen the movie Coach Carter. And one of the players in that movie tries really hard to come back on the team after he's messed up royally. And Coach Carter tells him he has to do a certain amount of push-ups and sprints in a certain period of time. And Coach Carter knows this is impossible for this kid to do. The kid tries and fails. And we're going to watch a clip now of what happens. Watch the clip from the movie Coach Carter.